I started thinking this week about our message last week and how so many of us could identify with Peter, the fallen man that was redeemed by Christ. And I started looking at Scripture and started looking at the other disciples. And there are certain key words that we identify with each of them. John, the beloved, the disciple Christ loved. Peter, person who denied Christ, but eventually became the rock. I'm going through puberty again. The rock of the church. And Judas, the betrayer. And then there's our buddy here. Can you hear the name Thomas without thinking about doubting? I identify one with the other. And Thomas, if you're listening to this later, buddy, I'm not talking about you, our own Thomas Price, but I started to look at this man in Scripture about him and say, you know, did he get a bad rap? Was he this just doubting, negative person? And was the doubting aspect really that bad? Or is it something we can learn from? A questioning mind needs to see the truth to believe, but more than willing to believe once he saw the truth. I think we all have questions at times. And maybe you just need to see the truth, had questions, got them answered, boom. There was, I think the doubt that Thomas had, it really expressed real well in this quote. His doubt had a purpose. Thomas wanted to know the truth. His doubt gives evidence, not as a lack of faith, but of a desire to have faith founded in fact. Of faith just grounded in something he could feel, not just in a fancy that would blow away with a strong wind. There are three times Thomas is mentioned in Scripture, most notably in the book of John, three different occasions. First time is in John 11. And to set this up, Lazarus, Jesus just got word that Lazarus has died. Jesus, Peter, John, Andrew, and I think Thomas, might have been Thomas, went up to the mountain and they saw Jesus in his true form. There was Abraham, Moses, and God there. He come down, finds out Lazarus is dead, and he tells his disciples, well, we got to go to Judea. And his disciples, hold on there. The Jewish authorities in Judea have tried to stone him. They've tried to trap him at this point. This was about 2.5 years out of a 3-year ministry. Jesus knew his time was coming to a close. Matter of fact, when he brought Lazarus back from the dead, it sealed his fate. The only thing left to do was go to Jerusalem. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. They didn't understand. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not within him. They didn't understand what he was talking about. He made the reference, he compared death to sleep. And his disciples told him, well, if he's falling asleep, he'll recover. And Jesus was talking about death, though. And Jesus just spelled it out for him. Lazarus is dead. And he told him that I'm glad for your sakes I was not there, but let us go, because he knew they were going to see a miracle happen. Thomas spoke up. Thomas, this word down here, Didymus, is Greek for twin. That was his name, Thomas the twin, but his twin's never mentioned in here. Let us also go. Knowing that they faced almost certain death. This is not the doubter. Let us also go so that we may die with him. Our version of Thomas when it comes to our minds is this doubting person that didn't believe anything. This shows faith. A faith, he knew Jesus could not be stopped from going to Judea. He knew it. He was willing to follow Jesus into a certain death. He was putting together what Jesus had said in Mark 8:34-35. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whomever wants to save his life will lose it, but whomever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. Thomas was the one disciple recorded that said, I'm with you. And let's go. He wanted to follow his master even if it meant death. When I looked at this version, at this verse, like, I've had this guy wrong for a long time. He truly wanted to do the will of God. And if it meant death, he was willing to take it. This doesn't fall in line with the personality of a doubter. But one who has honest questions, and once he receives the answers, he's more than willing to follow. Thomas go and see disaster, but he was willing to go on. And he was determined to be faithful, even in the face of death. By this time, John the Baptist had been killed, beheaded. He knew that the Jewish authority had tried to stone Jesus. Yet he was up here, and he was determined to follow his master to the end. There may have been death for Thomas, but not disloyalty. How many of us would love to have that type of faith and courage? How many of us could say we would walk with Jesus into almost certain death? Now, after reading this, I realized there was a lot more to Thomas than what I had thought. Next mention of Thomas is in John 14:1-7. And this is where Jesus was prepping his disciples for what would come. And again, the disciples, I think, had a different understanding than what he was talking about. He talks about, do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, you believe also in me. And he was telling them in this reference, I am one of the faces of God. Later on, he would include the Holy Spirit in this, but he was telling his disciples. And they didn't really understand. And he was telling them, when this description of his Father's house about the spiritual kingdom, about heaven. And they didn't click it. And Thomas was the only one that would come up and actually ask, where are you going? I want to go with you. And some people I used to look at like, you knucklehead, you didn't know where he was. But you got to think, Jesus was actually explaining all this stuff for the first time. And I think that it's just an amazing moment. What happens after Thomas's question? One of the most quoted verses in the New Testament. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Thomas set that up, and Jesus spiked it with that explanation. If you know me, you would know my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Jesus is explaining part of the Trinity here. One of the most well-known statements came from a question from Thomas. And it came from Jesus explaining that question. Our understanding of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, stems literally from these two verses. Jesus goes on in a later part of John to include the Holy Spirit before he goes back. And I don't think we can still look at this and say how little faith Thomas had, that he just didn't accept the words of Christ and go on his way. Because how many of us, he wanted to know where Jesus was going. He wanted to follow him. He wanted to pick up and follow him. How many of us today really, literally want to pick up and follow him? I am guilty at times of life here, Jesus here. I'll be the first to admit, any pastor that doesn't, they're a better man than I am. Thomas had Jesus here, life here. I think he has priorities in order, and it's hard to keep that. He was willing to go where Jesus was at. And he was honest enough to say, I don't know the way. Show me. I don't know, but I want to go. I want to follow you. How many people today say that? That they want to pick him up. That they want to follow him. That they want to see his way. How many of us can say that? This is a man of faith, and this was a man that humbled himself. He humbled himself enough to ask questions and to admit he didn't know. That's a hard thing to do. That's a very hard thing to do. He was trying to seek out a deeper truth. And he was the only disciple recorded to actually ask Jesus. How many of us have questions about the teachings of Jesus? I have. How many of us have actually went to God and prayed and said, I don't understand this? Yeah, I've had to. I still have to. There are verses I look at 100 times. Like this one was a aha moment. I never associated Thomas asking the question and trying to get deeper understanding with those verses. Here comes the part that we know Thomas from. This is after the resurrection. Jesus had already appeared to Mary Magdalene. He had already appeared to some of the disciples, but Thomas wasn't with them. He's appearing for, and they told him about it. And he said in verse 25, unless I see in his hands the imprint of his nails and put my finger into the place of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. This is where Thomas's reputation gets hung on him, right here. And it's easy to see where we get the nickname from. I mean, you know, you guys that you've been with for 3 years tell you, hey, I just saw Jesus, and he had already told you he's going to rise. I'll see you in like a week or something like that. And he doubts. We need to look at the whole story, though. Mary Magdalene was the first to see Jesus, and then she told the disciples. But when we see the first appearance of Christ to the disciples, they were locked in that upper room, afraid for their lives. The Bible doesn't really say it, but a lot of people portray Mary Magdalene as a reformed prostitute. And in Thomas's defense, you have someone that has a less than stellar reputation telling your chicken friends that Jesus has come back, that they have seen a dead man walking. How many of us have heard tall tales and not necessarily believed all of them? I have. I would have some doubt till I saw it. Right now, how many of us have doubt when we pray? When we pray for healing, we pray for help in life. How many of us do it wholeheartedly? Or how many of us are a little bit like Thomas and got a little bit of doubt about it, even though all we've seen, Thomas was given power to heal. Thomas was given power to call out demons. He was among the original 12. How many of us, though, have been like him? I have seen Jesus work in my life. I have seen the Holy Spirit work. I have been used by the Holy Spirit. There are times I struggle with doubt. And looking at it in that context, doubting Thomas don't seem quite so bad. He could be doubting Mark or doubting whoever. He was saying, that I'm sure he was not the only disciple. I have to see this for myself. There was doubt in his mind. I don't think it was a doubt in Jesus, but there was a doubt in his mind that they saw him. He didn't give up on Jesus when he had not seen it for himself, even for a full week after everybody else had seen him. He just didn't believe what they were saying. He was living on faith in Jesus by being with the disciples. That's another thing that really we don't stop and think about. The 11 remaining disciples were the most wanted men in Jerusalem. They could have been killed, snatched, killed any point in time. Did Thomas hightail it? He stayed in there with them. He was afraid, and he had his doubt, but he stayed in there with them. That's how much he believed. He just needed to see it for himself. I don't think he gave up on Jesus or his faith. I just think he needed a faith that was founded on fact that he saw himself. Some of us, how are we changed? Is it by what we see in someone else's life or what we are discovering in ours? He couldn't take anyone's word for it. He had to see it for himself. And when he did, he didn't doubt anymore. Was a very faithful disciple. His reaction to the risen Christ is profound. He calls him God. He recognizes Jesus was God in man form. My Lord and my God. And Jesus does tell him, because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed. And that is saying something. But how many of us need a little help in our faith? Powerful truth comes out there when Thomas says, my Lord, my God. He knew that he was encountering God. I don't think he'd ever forget he didn't. We'll go over what happened to Thomas at the end of this. We have doubts, and we want to know for ourselves. There's not a person in here that doesn't have a doubt about God, about Jesus. Part of it is on faith. Is this like not having faith? I don't think so. I mean, I really don't. When faith is greater, the one that never doubts, which faith is greater? One that never doubts? Or the one that doubts, and they investigate and they believe. We see examples of this throughout history of people who doubted, and some even went as far to disprove Christ and what happens. They doubt when they have a changed encounter with the risen Lord. Who had more faith than Paul? Paul went out. He started his life as Saul. He was part of the Jewish authority. He persecuted Christians all over the known Middle East. He was on his way to Damascus to arrest, persecute, and probably kill Christians. God got in the way. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? He had a changing, just a life-changing encounter with Jesus. He saw. He believed. Who has greater faith than Paul? He was beaten. He was persecuted. He was jailed. Thomas. We'll get into Thomas in just a minute. So when we have doubts or we start hearing about doubting Thomas, just remember, he was a lot more than a doubter. This man went, stood with Jesus, and was ready to die for him. Die right beside him. He knew going back to Judea, going back to Lazarus's home, he knew what that meant. He was ready to jump in there and die with Jesus. That's more than a doubter. When Jesus was talking about heaven, he did not understand, but he had faith in Jesus that he wanted to follow him through, even something he did not understand. But he asked, And there's nothing wrong with asking. There's nothing wrong with trying to figure out what you need to do. And we still do. We talk to God in prayer. And it doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to be with words like I use, but just honest conversation. Honest conversation with God. Point me in the right direction. And when you have doubt, tell him, I have doubt. You might get your own putting the fingers in the nail in the nail wound encounter where Jesus comes into your life and does something no one else could do. Whether it is a sickness, whether it is an addiction, whether it is a divorce, a failing relationship. Am I saying your life's going to be perfect? No. No Christians ever is. And when you take up that cross, you take up a target. You do. Those disciples, one of them died a natural death. The rest of them died for their faith. We can trust others, but there's no harm in us searching. And don't take my word for it, because if I come and talk to you and it's not in the Word of God, then I'm off base. I don't need to be doing that. It does not need to be my words. It all needs to come from the Word of God. And the Word of God is your starting point. The Word of God and honest communication with Jesus. People say they don't hear God. People have been mocked for saying that God talks to them. Holy Spirit puts things on your heart. It all is different for all of us. But the Holy Spirit does communicate. And I think if we learned anything about this man, let's be like Thomas in his dedication to Christ. This man, literally, Jesus here, life here. You're going to die, I'm going with you. That was his faith. That was his dedication. In his desire to really know for himself this risen Lord. How many people have heard someone say something outlandish and, well, it's in the Bible? I have. I've heard all kinds of stuff I never ever heard was in the Bible. And God's been accused of a lot of stuff he ain't never said. There have been a lot of people accused of being hypocrites, and there are some Christian hypocrites out there. But there are also a lot of people that will tell you what's in this word. And I'm going to tell you, some of it's uncomfortable. Some of it's really uncomfortable. And people can call you a hypocrite. I'm not going to judge you, but I am going to tell you, it says here this. And you can take your frustrations out on me, but it ain't me that's saying it. It's God that's saying it. And do your own research. I don't care if it's a comic book Bible. I don't care if it's an app, King James, what have you. If you can read and understand and get it, you may not like what you read when you first get started. It's a spiritual mirror. Thomas looked into that spiritual mirror. Thomas had dedication to his Christ. Thomas wanted to seek out and improve himself and be better. And he was brave enough to ask Jesus, ask God, what do I need to do to follow you? And even when Jesus returned and Thomas had doubts about that, right now there is a religious figure who is a dean of a seminary in this country who says she does not believe in the resurrection. This is the world we're living in right now. And Thomas researched it. Thomas saw Christ. Thomas went to Christ. This is the world we're living in. And you could be called a whole lot worse things than a doubting Thomas after reading this. Have the faith of Thomas, the dedication of Thomas, the zeal of Thomas to find the truth, because the truth's in here. It may not be what you want to hear, but the truth is in here. Thomas sought it out through Jesus. Josh McDowell, an evangelist, I think really summed up part of Thomas's motivation. My heart cannot rejoice in what my mind rejects. Thomas had to prove it. He had to have it in his own mind. Had to get past that doubt. Let's search in our own hearts and our unseen faith and in our minds and discover this risen Savior. He's there. I'm going to get everybody to stand with me. Then we're going to go to the Lord in prayer and then song. Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer. Father, we come to you with this message on our hearts. We come to you with this rediscovery of a man who was flawed, like all of us, but a man who had courage, a man who picked up his cross and followed you and was literally willing to follow you to death. We have rediscovered a man who asked you where you were going and wanted to follow you in this age where there are so many who deny you. And we rediscovered a man who had his doubts, but he was changed through his encounter with you. Father, let us have this courage. Let us have this faith to follow you, and let us have the zeal to understand you. Father, each of us in here, we have either accepted you, we may have fallen away from you, or we have never accepted you. Father, those who have never accepted or those that have fallen away, Father, open up their hearts, put that urging on them to where they cannot stand it, but to come to you and get their lives straightened out. Father, all of us probably have someone in our minds that we know that's struggling in darkness right now, that is just in spiritual darkness, that if they died right now, they would go straight to hell. They would. Because of the lives they're living, the sins they're having, the lies they're telling, and the things they're doing. Father, we ask that you shine your light into those people's lives to redeem them, to pull them out of this darkness, to pull them out of this well of despair, to change them, Father, to have that life-changing encounter like Thomas had. Father, Thomas, as you know, went to India spreading the gospel. Thomas started a church in Syria, in Damascus, is still there. Thomas died for his beliefs. Father, that kind of faith, that kind of courage, that kind of commitment and zeal, it is lacking in this country. It is lacking in your church as a whole. Father, just set fire to the churches in this country and just let them burn for you. And the people inside, let them burn for you and carry this light outside these walls. Because we need it, Father. We're hurting. We are hurting so bad that we are dying on the inside in this country from the addiction, from the immorality, from so much that is going on, Father. Give us the courage, help us in our faith, and give us the zeal to understand and to pick up our crosses and follow you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The altars are open.